we go to the Word of the Lord, the book of Mark. Mark chapter 7, one verse there, and then Mark chapter 8, one verse there. There's probably more occurrences in the Word of God of what I'm going to focus on here today, but we'll take a look at these two instances. Mark 7, verse 34, and then Mark 8, and verse 12. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Huh. That'd be fun to go Fred Meyer next time, and the door is going to open by itself. You just say Ephphatha, and it'll open. Mark 8, verse 12. He sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. He sighed. Does that seem incongruous to you? Jesus heals. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus casts out devils. But he sighs? You may be seated. Now, no doubt, sighing is a very human reaction. A mother keeping house, doing laundry, fixing meals, cleaning up, could be excused if she sighs every now and then. Because all of the work that's involved there. Looks like we got to shovel some snow. Sigh. That's something to sigh about. Oh, the New Year's resolutions. They're over and done. We might smile instead of sigh. But maybe you're still holding on. Good for you. That's good. You've outlasted the national average. The car won't start. There's a sigh. Jesus did a lot of human things, and we'll look at a few of them here. He did a lot of human things because he is man. He's a God-man. This is what's so amazing. This is what's so incredible about the Lord. God manifest in the flesh. The Word being made flesh. God in Christ. The Lord is the image of the invisible God. And on it goes, we know throughout Scripture. It's just incredible that the Lord would manifest himself in that way. And then pay the supreme sacrifice of giving himself for us so that we in turn could give ourselves to him. Amen. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Many human things he did, but no sin. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Praise God. So I'm thankful we put our trust in him. Jesus prayed in these instances. He went to a mountain and prayed. Prayed all evening. Prayed all night. Prayed alone. Prayed solitary, prayed with his disciples, prayed in public. He prayed. When they were crossing the sea and they were about to be covered by the waves, the disciples were very frightened, and some of them seasoned fishermen who'd been out in waters like that before, and now they are scared. But Jesus is sleeping. And they woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. In place of a great storm, became a great calm. Praise God. And then when there was a spiritual storm in the garden, Peter and James and John were with him, and he went a little farther and prayed. But now the disciples are asleep. Make sure you're sleeping in the right storm. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. That's how intense the storm was. And prayer identifies you with the Savior. Talk about sighing in Mark 9, or rather Ezekiel 9, there's a mark that is placed upon those who sigh in that cry for the sins of the city. Make sure that's where you're sighing and identifying with the Lord and praying. Jesus groaned. Another human reaction. Lazarus and his sisters were special to him. And Lazarus dies. And they had sent messages to him, but he delayed arriving. When he did come to Bethany, both Mary and Martha told the Lord, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You were capable of healing him. You could have kept him alive. Had you been here, things would have been different." But Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And he went on and extended it to the here and now. Not just something that's going to happen in the future, but right now. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he brought the challenge right to them. "Believest thou this?" And, of course, they professed their belief. What a great truth. A great truth. But it didn't grate on her faith. It wasn't uncomfortable. It wasn't something that was a problem. Because Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. He's touched by that. The Bible says he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So he groaned. He saw her weeping, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. A little later, he said, where is he laid? And they took him to the tomb. And again, groaning in himself, he cometh to the grave. But we know how it turns out. It is God. But the point is, he identified with those feelings. He understood those problems. And he could feel their grief. And then, very humanly, he wept. Touched by the sorrow of Mary and Martha, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And oh, how profound. How full of meaning. How amazing that he could identify that strongly with where we are oftentimes, weeping in the face of death. Again, Isaiah 53, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Another time he looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept for that city. "If thou hadst known," he said, "in this thy day, the time of thy visitation." Oh, so important we don't miss the opportunities that God extends to us, because they don't just impact the here and now. It's for eternity. It's forever that his plan affects us. So sighing, human reaction, but for some reason it doesn't fit the Messiah. Even though sigh, I guess, is in his name, it doesn't fit. God sigh? No, he creates. He speaks into existence. He creates dominions. He commands demons. He rebukes sickness. Praise God. But we saw how he prayed and he groaned and he wept. Now, there are some situations in which sighing could be expected. Dealing with the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord declaring, don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know who you're trying to get to go against the word that he spoke? And then Peter, he just got done telling him, you know, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter's not the rock. The rock is the revelation. Just got done saying about, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then he's got to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Did Jesus sigh? It's not recorded, but I think we could have expected a sigh at that point. You know, come on, what's going on here? The rich young ruler, thank God for youth who keep the truth. All these things have I kept from my youth up. He did deserve a pat on the back. Amen. Thank God for youth who are grabbing hold of truth. Thank God for youth who are not using the excuse of immaturity to say, well, I don't have to, I don't, you know, it's not required of me, and so on. No. No, walk with God. Amen. Jesus, this is what's beautiful. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Amen. Oh, thank God that the Lord would love that young man. Spoke to him about what he needed to do. Expected him to be willing to pay the price, but then he walked away sorrowful because that young man was rich. Had a lot of money. And he wasn't willing to part. Did Jesus sigh? After that long exchange, after so much potential there? John chapter 6, the disciples are feeding 5,000. Besides, you know, 5,000, and then, in addition, women and children. So there's a crowd there. There's a bunch. And 2 fish and 5 loaves are multiplied so amazingly. And then Jesus begins to multiply his teaching. And they begin to walk away. And the Lord turns to his disciples and asks them, will you also go away? Was there a sigh? The disciples' feet, 12 pair, 24. The Lord kneels and washes each one. But he knew those feet would not stay by him. He knew they would run away. He knew Peter's feet would bring him to the judgment hall, and he would warm by the fire, and he would deny the Lord 3 times. The rooster would crow. Jesus would look at him as Peter wept. The Last Supper. Jesus shared the cup and the bread, which we now call communion. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. And then there was strife among them about who's the greatest. My body, my blood. But who's the greatest here? Who? What do you think? And they begin to make comparisons. Did Jesus sigh? I probably would have. My goodness. But oh my, divine dealings with the human dilemma. Here the man is deaf, and he's got a speech impediment. Now, a natural or a physical handicap is sad, and I'm glad the Lord is able to deal with them. And if it doesn't, if it isn't healed, the Lord gives grace to be able to manage life through that situation. But a spiritual handicap that people excuse or justify or allow to remain in place, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make sense at all. Those who won't listen, those who express love for him but never obey him, those who feel like, well, grace will take care of my mistakes, heading for a disaster. See, the Lord sighed in that those situations. Sign seekers, oh, I'm glad our God is a God of signs. Signs and wonders appear 59 times. That phrase, signs and wonders, appears 59 times in Scripture because the Lord did way more signs and wonders than that. Yeah. Amen. And we've seen signs and wonders. Praise God. There's signs and wonders that have happened for you this week. Amen. The power of God that has been demonstrated in an amazing way. Signs follow the believers as they follow the Lord. And the Lord confirms his word with signs following. Praise God. So we know he's a God of signs, but demanding signs. You know, we're not going to do anything until you show a sign, Lord. Gideon's fleece and all that sort of thing. God, help us to graduate into faith where we can just hear the Lord and say, all right, God, here I go. Amen. Now, sighing is different than singing. Unless it's a sad song like the country folks do, you know, they lose their pickup, lose their dog, shoot mess so much they lose their teeth. All crazy, crazy stuff that they're getting involved in. But Jesus suffered so that we could sing, not sigh. He wants to change our sigh to a song. Amen. And indeed, human helplessness in the face of death, the resisting temptation over and over and over, being misunderstood, being mistreated, having our words misconstrued, all of those kinds of things, we sigh. But the Lord wants to change that to a song. Praise God. And thank the Lord that his power can bring about that kind of change. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. And oh, the Lord and his power is able to make such an incredible difference in our lives. I'm thankful that he manifests that power. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, we're not talking about a mystery that would cause the psychics to stand up and pay attention or the philosophers to gather around and say, tell us, we want to discuss it. We want to debate it. We want to hear it. We want to know what you're talking about. Tell us this mystery. Not a mystery that would be science fiction, not a mystery. Well, maybe it would be fit into a science fiction thing a little bit. But a mystery, he said, that we shall not all sleep, but we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. There's going to be immortality. There's going to be incorruption because of a resurrection. Oh, yes. No sting of death, no victory of the grave. But we're going to be changed. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord forever. We're going to exalt his name forever. Hallelujah. We're going to praise God with the saints, with the family of God forever. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not something we're going to sigh about for eternity. It's something we're going to sing about forever, exalting him, lifting him up, praising him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the power that he provides and the blessing that we receive again and again. Praise God. Praise God. Did Jesus rejoice? That's human. Did Jesus rejoice? Yes, he did. Praise God. In Luke chapter 10, he sent his disciples out. They came back thrilled. They came back excited. Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Praise God. That's something to get excited about. Oh, yeah. Even the devils are subject to us in his name. Praise God. And so the Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. The shield of faith can absorb every fiery dart that the enemy fires against you. Oh, yes. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the sword of the Spirit. We're going to do battle. Praise God. We're going to step forward, not with a sigh, but praise God, with a swing of that sword. and let the devil know we mean business, and you're not going to defeat us. You're not going to bring us down. Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you. That's wonderful, but here's what you ought to rejoice in. Your name is written down. Praise God. No matter how much the devil tries to erase it, he can't do it. No matter how much the devil tries to pull on you, can't take you out of his hand. Now, you can remove yourself, and that would be dumb. That would be something to sigh about. But you can hang on. You can stay in place. Praise God. You can be blessed. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And oh, then I like this part. Luke 10:21. Jesus rejoiced. Amen. He rejoiced. Praise God. He rejoiced that they were getting it. He rejoiced that they were receiving it. He rejoiced that they were understanding it. He rejoiced that they were standing in his power and believing him for his work. Praise God. And what was going to be accomplished. Jesus rejoiced. Amen. Praise God. And in Strong's Concordance, rejoice means to jump for joy. It means to exalt. Kind of the things that you were doing here today. Can you imagine Jesus looking at his disciples, hearing them say, the devils are subject to us in your name, and imparting that promise to them of power, praise God, and Jesus rejoicing because they were grabbing a hold of the principles of the kingdom. They were understanding the power that was accessible to them. They were grabbing a hold of the truth that there would be victory. There would be power. There would be deliverance. There would be dominion, hallelujah, because the devil is defeated, hallelujah, and the power of our God, the blood that he shed, his name above every name, the blessing of his spirit, thank God, all of that is to bring the victory that God wants you to have, and you can rejoice. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm so glad we can rejoice with the redeemed, not sing or sigh with the sinners. Amen. But move into the realm that God has in store for us. Victory, power, blessing. Amen. Oh, yeah. We're still here. We're still here. There's still sickness. There's still problems. There's still situations. Amen. But thank God we can sing and not sigh. We can pray, hallelujah, and not feel like we're lost. Praise God, but in the presence of his power, in the blessing of his spirit, in the strength of his promise. Amen. We're going to stand. Praise God in the blessings that he's provided. Because even heaven rejoices. Heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. Praise God. And oh, what a blessing that we can instigate that party. Amen. Teaching somebody. I don't know how many times I've sighed over, and this was the old Search for Truth days, because Lesson 3 brought the plan of salvation out. And I don't know how many times I've sighed by getting to Lesson 3 and they stop. That's the end of it, because they saw the plan of salvation. Oh, I taught them the plan of salvation. And they walked away from it. Baptism in Jesus' name? No, I've already been baptized. Receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues? No, I don't have to do that. Or they come to salvation, a born-again experience. They're thrilled, absolutely thrilled with being baptized in Jesus' name. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Smile on their face, ear to ear. Bible studies again and again. But 6 months later, they've had opportunity to see how Sister Glover dresses. They've recognized we don't do a lot of things that people consider important. We don't go a lot of places that people think are necessary. They begin picking up on those changes. And they say, we found another place. We're going to another church. We're not coming back. sigh. But I'm not turning. I'm not going another direction. I'm not stepping back. I'm not going to change. Praise God. I'm holding to the word of the Lord. Stand with me now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now the question is, here's the question. Here's the question. When Jesus looks at you, when Jesus sees your actions, your life, day in, day out, is he going to sigh? Is he going to say, I've promised him my power. I've given him evidence and promises again and again. Why can't they stand? Why can't they stop? Why can't they keep going in all of that what I have for them? Don't let sin have dominion. Let my spirit have dominion. Does the Lord sigh? Or does he rejoice? Ah, they're getting it. Ah, they're standing on my name. Ah, they're defeating devils in my name. All the power that I've given them, nothing's going to hurt them. And they're rejoicing that their name is written down, and no matter how big a eraser the devil gets, he's not going to erase it. Ah, I rejoice. Praise God. Now, that's not so far-fetched to imagine that. That's not some little kiddie idea. No. No, no. Does the Lord sigh, or does he rejoice when he looks at you, when he examines you? Amen. I hope there's a determination that comes up within us that says, Lord, I want you to rejoice when you see me. Not sigh, not feel like it's a wasted effort. Not sigh that I've gone another direction and stepped away from your promises and your presence. Amen. And oh no, there is going to be a fulfillment of his promise. No sting of death, no victory of the grave. Praise God, but in his presence forever. Glory to God. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes now.